Caught Offside with Andrew Gundling and JJ Devaney.
Oh, yes. Caught Offside from the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Andrew Gundling and JJ Devaney on a sad night for MLS. What's up, brother?
It's 20 to the witching hour. And Toronto have been beaten on penalties after winning in the regular times.
Oh, we're here to talk about it and take you through it. It was a pretty exciting, exhilarating night in down in Mexico for the CONCACAF Champions League final. And like you say, it is Toronto winning 2-1, but then losing on penalties on aggregate. Obviously, there's no extra time in the CONCACAF Champions
League. No, and you know, penalties. Someone tweeted us about that. Look, it's 180 minutes, a two-legged final.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I'm okay with it. I think it would have been some kind of strange cruelty to put these sides too much longer.
Well, I don't know about that. Strange cruelty, but yeah, I'm okay.
You know, it's close to midnight. Andrew won't even put up with a little bit of my
way overly dramatic, a strange cruelty. I mean, it's extra time is a normal thing, but having said that, I don't really care. It's not, that's like hardly the issue for me.
What's happening now is Chivas Guadalajara finished their prayer circle, are now surrounding the manager and pumping their fists and jumping up and down in the center circle.
With their fans, as you would expect, on what was a really dramatic night and a great victory for them in the midst of what's been a difficult Liga MX campaign for them. But this campaign turns out as a glorious one as MLS's wait continues. It was the first CONCACAF Champions League decided by penalty since 2007. And Toronto come up just short. Let's go through this game because there was certainly so much to talk about. I guess the big thing for me, as the game was transpiring, it kind of came in waves early on, you know, somewhere between like the 10th and 18th minute. You know, Jozy Altidore had a chance where Chivas' keeper was able to rush out and kind of swallow it up before he could really chip it maybe to the extent that he would have liked to. And then right after that, you came back down the other end and there was a free header for Chivas, which was, fortunately for Toronto, hit right at Bono.
Yeah.
And then in the 18th minute was the goal after a turnover in midfield for Toronto, immediate counterattack. Oro lets Pineda
run blindside
right behind him, and a perfect pass. Pineda takes the touch, easy finish, and that was 1-0 at that point.
Yeah, that was a good goal.
Chivas, yeah.
And you felt that Toronto were the authors of their own misfortune there. But you still had in your mind that two goals would be okay. And let's be honest, Toronto had plenty of the ball in that first half and you felt that a chance would come. And the equaliser, when it did come, I think it was fairly expected.
Yeah, and it was well deserved. And it was shortly after that. The 25th minute was when it came off a corner. Ball kind of pinged around a little bit, got to Nicholas Hasler, who did a really, really nice job.
Kept control of it. Nice, sharp little roll back with his foot. He got a bit of luck. He played it off the shins of a Chivas defender. Kept it, held the guy off.
Yeah, he battled through two defenders.
He did, but I think the crucial part was he centered it perfectly right onto Altidore's foot, who finished very well.
Can we talk for a second about Jozy Altidore?
As Barry Glendinning describes him.
We have talked about this before, and the moniker that has followed him throughout his career of, you know, being a guy who's just not clutch or not a big game player. I'm sorry. It is not true. It's just not true. Now, maybe it's American fans who don't really pay much attention to MLS who see what he does for the U.S. men's national team, and they're going to label everything he does as a soccer player off of that. Fine. If that's that's your prerogative, then fine.
They throw in Hull, they throw in Sunderland, okay, and they talk about Trinidad and Tobago.
All right, fine. But if you want to deal in facts and reality, the facts are that he scores tons of big goals for Toronto. Let's look in the last, you know, season and a half by itself, or even in this tournament. Goal versus Tigres, goal versus America in the CONCACAF Champions League, and then goal tonight in the second leg of the final when they desperately needed one. He scored the goal to win MLS Cup. Oh, boy, look at was that Nicholas Hasler.
Nicholas Hasler.
Broken
oh, my
down in tears.
God.
I saw Jonathan Osorio was in tears.
His eyes are reddened with tears.
Yeah, oh, boy. I mean, there is a list from Josie. In the Eastern Conference Final, scored a goal. Goal against Montreal in the Olympic Stadium in 2016 after Toronto had fallen behind 3-0 in the playoffs. I mean, there is now, like, I think that he's done enough. And if he hasn't yet, if you're somebody who still needs more, then he just can't.
You don't want to dive into our mentions right now.
Well, what are they? I mean, why? Because he got hurt?
Yeah, because he came out.
He scored tonight in a must-win game. He scores the goal to tie it back up on 1-1 on the night, play them back into this game. I mean, I don't know.
People have
decided. They've made up their mind with him, and they're not going to let facts get in the way of the decision.
Joe Kristinak, I want an MLS team to eventually win the CONCACAF Champions League, but very glad TFC lost, and especially that Bradley sealed it with his miserable pen. Altidore and Bradley deserve nothing, and the gif is no soup for you. Jesus.
People are
unbelievable.
Like, it's just funny to me, not to jump ahead as we're kind of going through the game chronologically, but if Delgado scores at the end of that game as he should, then the narrative on Josie's goal is completely different. Now he's a hero because he scored the goal that brought Toronto FC back into the game, and they went on and got two more to win it. But, you know, because Delgado misses that, or because Bradley and Osorio missed their penalties, you know, now Josie's a bum who left with an injury. Forget that he scored, or all the goals that he scored in this tournament to help Toronto get to this point. It's just like people have made up their minds, man. There's no changing people's opinions.
One more from a guy we know well, who's a nice guy. At Danny or 302. But this is the narrative that has taken over that you are trying to counter. There you go, typical Altidore, unable to stay fit. That is the story of his career. Unable to finish the big match and always dinged up.
Yeah, I mean,
it's any reason to get on him. Look, injuries are, they're for the most part not under his purview as a footballer. He does his best to avoid them. He does all the rehab work he can. But this was unfortunate. It was an explosive action jumping for a bouncing ball. And clearly something went, a high hamstring, we don't know.
I'm just saying, in this tournament, they faced Mexican opposition three times and he scored against all of them.
Andrew, honestly, I thought he's been great in this tournament. And how much of a critic am I of him?
Oh, you despise him.
No.
I mean, you've made it deeply personal.
You are the worst. No, I have not.
And people will continue to tweet. And look, I get it. There's still raw feelings from what's happened with the U.S., but... like you can't ignore what he's done for his club.
On his 100th appearance for the club.
And it's funny because you bring up what he didn't do for Hull or Sunderland, but people don't want to talk about what he's done for Toronto or what he did
at AZ Alkmaar.
Right. Like, people are just going to be selective in how they view him. And I don't know.
I do think a lot of this has been intensified by what happened in November. We're not relitigating that. Let's go on with the game.
One last thing on that. You and I have done this podcast long enough to know that people's minds were made long before that game for the U.S.
But this is now, it's carte blanche.
It's fun now.
It's open season.
It's fun
open
now.
Season.
Like, if you made us suffer through that, we're going to make you suffer through the rest of your career. We continued. Then the game kind of settled in. It was 1-1 at that point. A little bit of, kind of game held up in the midfield, sort of. It felt like we settled in. After that.
And it was interesting because Giovinco was getting on the ball, but then less so. Seemed to be fading out. Seemed to be getting frustrated in that first half because there was something of a man marking exercise engaged in by Chivas to try and nullify him, which I wouldn't blame them for doing.
Right, he's the best player out there,
right, by far. And it got to a point in the middle of the park where he confronted the referee, really put his hands firmly behind his back, got a yellow card for screaming at the referee.
Yeah.
And what you would say would be, under the laws of the game, dissent. And then moments later,
that was the dissent was in the 43rd minute, in the 44th, just before the half goal. And of course it's that man,
and it's a brilliant goal.
Giovinco, Delgado played the ball out wide to Giovinco and just kind of just quick with his feet
ran at the defender, pulled it inside, played the goalkeeper with the eyes from about 18 yards, which is the most amazing thing. Obviously opened out with his body to shoot for the far corner, which is the corner you should go for, and then went near post.
And bang, right in the back of the net, right before the half. It felt like just a boom, gut punch for Toronto, right to Chivas there, right before the half.
Right, it's to the solar plexus.
Yeah. Going into the half, you're feeling good. Javinko's into this one, and you know, Toronto, they've done it. They gave up that early goal, but they've done it. They've come back, and they've now equalized on aggregate. I mean, I don't want to say that I felt like it was the momentum was with them, clearly. Anytime you get that goal before the half, and you know, you could see Javinko kind of had a fire in his eyes after that. Yeah. The Toronto fans that were there, I give them credit. I give those people credit. No shirts on, loving life.
They're fantastic, and there was just a small hub of them as well. You know, they'll remember that night for the rest of their lives, all together in that little clump.
Do you think they regret it right now?
No, they don't. Definitely don't. We're watching Javinko, who, by the way, I said he shot from 18 yards. It was
no way. It was less than that.
It was less than that. It was less than that.
But Toronto are getting their runners-up medals right now, which is
Javinko has walked by the cup. He's been voted. Player of the game or exceptional talent of the game or whatever that was, and
oh my god, it's not a runner-up medal. Is he getting for
he's getting
for the
player of the game?
Is that the
Chivas Campeón de la Conca, yeah. Ballon d'Oro, which is very deserved.
Yeah, we have the Univision feed here, and neither of us speak Spanish.
Doesn't matter what he's
presented
got.
A bit
hey,
of an
listen,
issue.
Listen, they could be handing him a dead haddock. Yeah, because he does not
it's
want
the same
it.
Face that Messi had when he went up to accept his golden ball in the World Cup.
To make them do these things is just there's got to be a better way.
I know, man.
Oh no, the ref's getting their medals, and the referee is wrapping his medal round his neck in a similar fashion to the way one of the Chivas players absolutely wrapped himself around Javinko, and the ref ignored it.
Oh, come on. I kind of like when we do one of these podcasts and there's not really officiating decisions to talk about. I feel like it's refreshing. Like, I can't really think of much that went a certain way where I was like beside myself in anger, which is a good sign. Second half, again, it started with a bang. Once again, ball fell right to Vasquez about 18 yards out. But he put the shot low, kind of right at the keeper, though.
Yeah.
No harm done there for Toronto, but it was the first real chance of the half. Then it started to come to light. Now we started to see the game move in Chivas' direction. 61st minute, bang, drilled it right off the post. I mean, just smacked the hell out of the post. Then 63rd minute, free kick to Chivas. Almost another goal like Pulido had the week before, which no. I said, and you said... Andrew,
the nuances of the free kick. I went full smug.
He patted me on the head. Oh, it's adorable.
Yeah, Andrew,
a free kick from the same spot, all right? Maybe it looked a little bit different. One was a shot, maybe one was more of an intended cross, but it was from the same spot.
There was much more pace on the one tonight. It was into a different part of the goal. He had to tip it over. Bono did a great job. The other one was a floated free kick that blew in, dear boy.
You're right, JJ. I don't belong here. My Americanness is consuming me and my
no, you're
my
right.
Competence.
You're right, but we'll put it this way. Bono dealt with it much better.
Yeah, he wasn't going to make that
solid.
Twice.
Was a solid tip over the bar.
It settled down a little bit, and then in the 76th minute, you and I almost in unison looked at each other. With the way the game was going and how it just felt like Toronto had gone ages without being on the ball. Javinko was just out of the game.
Josie, out of the game.
It was just constant backpedaling for Toronto, last-ditch defending. And 76th minute, we both turned and looked at each other and said, it feels like something is coming.
Yeah.
It feels like Toronto are just hanging on for dear life right now.
And we started seeing things like Michael Bradley popping up in the left-back position regularly, trying to cover the full-back.
He became a defender in this game.
Funny, he did what Nangalan or one of the midfielders for Roma should have been doing in the Champions League the other night, filling in there, trying to help out with the full-back. It was kind of all hands to the pump, backs to the wall, whatever cliche you want for hanging on in there.
Yeah, and look, Chivas did do Toronto some favors, I thought. You know, they took maybe some shots that were ill-advised.
You
they
had one in particular, that dribble. I tried to argue with you, but you were completely right.
Well, in the 86th, it was a chance for Chivas where they took a shot from just an incredible, kind of like actually the goal that Landon Donovan scored against Slovenia in the 2010
World
Cup.
Where he's like, pass it, center it, and he just drills it.
It's from a crazy angle. And you remember, Donovan just hit the hell out of the ball as hard as he could, and it was fortunate it went above the keeper.
That was actually a great
one. This one was part power, part finesse. Bono had it covered. And if you look, I mean, the replay didn't show it all that well, but there were two Chivas players
arriving,
arriving late in the box, about 6 to 7
if
yards out.
If he flicked or dinked it back, you're thinking that's a goal.
And look, Toronto did have it somewhat defended. It's a tough play, but it's probably more likely you score a goal by trying to center the ball there rather than trying to go from an impossible angle. Bono's he's a good keeper. He's a big keeper, plays his angles well. They were never going to score from that spot, and it felt like Toronto dodged a bullet. And then sure enough, it was almost like that was the momentum boost that Toronto needed. Bono makes that save, and then that was the 86th. Right back in the 87th, Giovinco comes back, put one just wide, which was really Toronto's first chance in quite a while.
Yeah, he's kind of slaloming across. It was actually a really good move. He pulls it out onto the left, pulls it back onto the right, and drags the shot just past the post. And at that point, mentally, even when you're playing in a game like this, because I know I've played at the highest level. No, I haven't. No, but when you are playing in a game like this, you think, okay, we're going to get one more chance after this. Just give us one more chance. And that one more chance came.
It came. First came an 88th minute corner for Chivas, which was headed right at Bono. It was a frantic final few moments in this game. I mean, this was a fun... The whole game was fun, but the ending was really fun. And then the 91st minute, Toronto in possession. Giovinco plays a ball just... It's perfect. Somehow, Marky Delgado winds up 8 yards out, and there's just no one. It's him.
Yeah.
It's him.
Yeah.
There's nobody. Skies it.
Yeah.
Skies it. Head in his hands, thinking, oh my God, what have I just done?
Yeah.
I screamed something in that moment that I'm not proud of.
Yeah, I know.
He wandoed it.
Yeah, and
you said, oh no, that's not fair. Oh no.
It's not fair, though. Wando's chance was still easier. This is coming. Here's the thing. That's coming up off the turf. It's actually your hit. You're trying to catch it, not on the full volley, on the half volley with your the side of your foot, really, to control it.
Yeah.
And he...
With the defender nearby. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. There wasn't any. There were none.
I'm sorry. I could give you that ball 17 times and the same thing's happening to you 17
times. That's a good
times.
Point. That is an excellent
but
point.
But I am not a professional
I'm
footballer.
I'm not a professional. And by the way, he's not just a professional. I mean, he's like a really good one.
Yeah.
A U.S. international now. I mean,
Andrew, like, I'm just giving
I know
you
things
the reason.
I know things happen, but I feel like you're letting him off.
I think
I don't try to be harsh, but I feel like you're letting him
I
off
I think
the
he
hook.
Let... Look, all I'm saying is I know how he missed it.
So do I. Of course I do.
I know the body shape. I know the things he did. And I'm giving him a pass on it.
He should score.
Yeah.
He should score.
Yeah. I mean, his other option, which I don't know if it really was one, maybe if you're a player of his technical ability, take a touch.
I think he had time. I really think he could have.
Maybe.
There were two guys near him and they were both his teammates.
Jeez, I mean, he saw his name in lights. And also, the cross was so good and the space was so plentiful, he watched it all the way, Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and his face and his hands.
Oh, yeah. I feel terrible for him. I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Hands to the face. Well, I think that the family of the Delgado family are upset with you right now. They
what do you think, had that been our buddy Josie, what people would be, the vitriol that would be getting spewed right now?
Horrendous. But...
Bradley, but his time was still to come.
Bradley is actually taking the spotlight far away from Delgado.
So then we go to penalties. The first penalty that Chivas converted, I feel kind of like a jerk and kind of harsh saying this. There's not really a situation where I can say I expect a keeper to make a save. That's not fair. They're in an incredibly difficult position, obviously. However, Bono got pretty much a full fist to that first Chivas penalty. Now you tell me. I mean, I'm sure you're on David Priest's Twitter right now, and he's all over this game. Of
well,
course,
I'd say Priest's in bed.
But you tell me then: is that a save in penalties that a keeper should make?
Let's not talk about us. I can guarantee you that he'll be replaying that over and over in his head because he as a goalkeeper will be his own greatest critic, and he's got enough on it, like you suggested, for me to think: can he turn that round the post? Can he keep that out?
Yeah.
I think I hate being critical of him because apart from the first leg, like he's been unbelievably
good.
He's
very good.
He is excellent. He really is. Some of the saves he's made, I commend him highly for the tournament he's had. But maybe he could have saved that penalty. Maybe.
Yeah. And then who knows if the pressure shifts in some way. Instead, the pressure now was on Toronto with them shooting second. And again, it's unfortunate because just last week we're talking about Jonathan Osorio. And all, even though he's not a goal scorer, look at all the big goals that he's scoring. He comes up second for Toronto and bang, crossbar, underside of the crossbar, bounces down. I say this all the time, man. If I was taking a penalty, I'm not messing around with any stutter step
right.
or anything, you know, trying to juke the goalie.
That's something that's come up.
I'm just going. I'm just going for it. I feel like more often than not, we see guys who do that, and it doesn't end well for them.
Low and hard to the corners.
Like, right. It's simple as that. Even if the keeper guesses right, if you hit it right, it doesn't matter.
Like, look at the goal that we're talking about in terms of Bono's save. I mean, it had just enough on it. It was just enough in the corner yeah. that it made it difficult to get to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about this.
When you see Giovinco sky or like roof his one, like put it straight into the roof of the net. Like if you're of that level skill, I guess it doesn't matter so much. But otherwise, you've got to go low and hard in my view. And there was just a few too many penalties. I was watching them like, is that going to go over the bar?
What would you say is the complete and total opposite of low and hard?
How do you mean? Like, that we saw tonight?
Just in general. It happened tonight.
Which penalty?
Michael Bradley. That's the opposite of low and hard. He Baggio. If if Delgado wandoed it, then Bradley Baggio.
I wrote penalties, and I put up a gif of Baggio's miss in 94 in Pasadena.
Why'd you do that?
Just because when I think of penalties, that's the first thing I think of.
And it happened.
Yeah.
You did this.
I don't think I did. I really don't think I did.
You're funny. When Bradley, they had a zoom in on the Univision feed of Bradley placing the ball down on
yep.
the spot.
No, well, what did he do first?
It was kind of, he sort of...
He dug the ground with his studs a bit, yeah. right? Which I think is a terrible sign. It means he's not happy with the spot or he doesn't fancy it. He places the ball, and then what did I say, Andrew?
You said, oh my God, it's in a divot.
It's rolled forward into where he stamped down.
How can you see this, but he can't?
Where he placed it was not where it stayed. It rolled forward ever so slightly. And he skied it.
And you believe that that's why?
Not entirely. I think I need to see the replay again. I think he may have been doing what is the...
You know what probably happened?
He probably leaned back as well.
That mentalist was probably in some hotel room somewhere saying...
Yuri Geller.
Move.
For anyone who doesn't know, here's the quick one. Scotland have a penalty against England. Euro 96. The ball rolls off the spot when Gary McAllister hits it. And what did Yuri Geller say, Andrew?
He claims that as it happened, he looked at the TV and said,
move.
Move.
No, in fact, and he said he was in a helicopter above All Wembley. Right. But it did move, didn't I? Didn't you see it? You saw me.
Oh, no, it's shocking. Yeah. Yeah, here he is. We have this from Yuri Geller, and you'll hear, who is it, Rich Fulcher, you'll hear here at
yeah.
the end. This is from a documentary talking about how Yuri Geller made this ball move.
I looked out of the window, and I shouted, 1, 2, 3, move!
It's Gary McAllister this week.
Move!
Oh, save by Seaman!
Lo and behold, the ball moved.
I saw it move. I myself.
Yeah, it wasn't quite like this
because
the ball was placed in McAllister's one and it just rolls out of nowhere. He's already standing back ready to hit it.
Right, right.
Whereas Michael Bradley has just left it down and it just turns. Maybe one rotation or two?
I don't know if I'm going to say that had anything to do with it.
Dug the spot and put it to, anyway. That, look, as a connoisseur of ball striking, it just looked bad to me.
Yeah, I suppose. So that's it. Toronto are out and MLS's wait continues.
Toronto are out. Toronto lose in the final. Yeah. Chivas are champions. And I'm going to get just a plethora of emails from our listeners from down south of the border.
Well, you've shown no respect to their league.
And particularly to Chivas.
You earn all the vitriol that's coming your way. Now, you did say, though, tonight you felt vindicated in your view of Chivas.
I don't think they're any good. Not really.
They were. I thought tonight was a good game. I thought tonight was an even game. Toronto had stretches where they looked like the better side, and then Chivas had that kind of relentless patch in the second half, but they didn't score. They were never able to get the goal. I thought this was a good game. Chivas, I thought, played fairly well.
I mean,
well.
I enjoyed the game, but this was the first time in the tournament that I've thought I've been even vaguely impressed by them.
All right. So is this tournament now? On your radar. This is a thing that you care about.
This is a staple. I wish they would have better viewing times. No,
this wasn't crazy. A 9:30 kickoff.
Yeah, what time is it now, Bubba?
Well, I mean, most people are able to go to sleep afterwards. We've chosen to stay at work and do a podcast. This is the life we've chosen.
It's like you're talking to me and we're in the mafia.
I will say that
this is the life we've chosen.
It feels like that. We've crossed the threshold, though.
We've crossed the Rubicon.
I mean, we will routinely do, immediate reaction pods for USA matches of significance, World Cup qualifiers.
Emergency pods for big managers leaving.
If we're doing it now for CONCACAF Champions League, that means we are all in now.
That means
there's no turning back.
That means you'll be texting me and say, we got to come into the studio today. And I'll be like, why? NPSL. Cosmos B are playing Boston City.
Yeah, that's where we're at now. So that's it, CONCACAF Champions League. This was fun. I did enjoy this tournament. Not the ending I was rooting for. Wanted to see MLS get off the schneid. They don't, but you can definitely feel MLS making serious headway into the Liga MX stranglehold with the success that we saw from various MLS clubs, the Red Bulls and Toronto FC especially.
I think we need year on year of that, and hopefully next year we'll be back here sitting talking about an MLS team who are champions.
So will your lyrics change?
These are quite good teams.
Okay,
they're not the greatest, but you'll stay up and watch it with Andrew.
Oh.
Watching the game, getting lots of things wrong.
Oh, well.
The CONCACAF champion!
I am American. So there you go. That's the CONCACAF Champions League. A couple more things to talk about before we head out for the evening. I know we're a few days removed.
Yeah, let's not dwell.
No, but the FA Cup semifinals happened, and they do warrant a mention. People would say that I'm a spineless weasel if I were to do two podcasts today and not mention Spurs losing.
I'm sure they do it anyway.
Yeah, that's sad but true. Tottenham lose to Manchester United 2-1. You, my friend, I sent you a text message in confidence. I thought I was just sending a message to my friend in a vulnerable moment after that game ended.
You got some love, to be fair.
I was actually pleasantly surprised by the reaction, but I didn't expect you. Do you have it in front of you?
Yep. Saturday, 2:26 p.m. Just finished watching on DVR. I think I'm done with this sport. Too frustrating. I find myself just punching the couch and cursing under my breath for pretty much the entire game. I've had it.
I did get a lot. I didn't know that you were
228. I don't even have any analysis of any or anything of it. Just mad.
Yeah. Like I can't see, and I still feel that way. I mean, people want all these reasons. People want to make these sweeping statements about what this is for Tottenham.
And bottle and trophies and nearly men.
I mean, one thing that I want to speak from a fan's perspective for a sec. And when you posted that, I got a lot of actually shockingly nice comments from people.
Incredibly nice stuff from people who usually hate you.
I know. But then I also got a lot of try being a West Ham fan. Try being a Leeds United fan.
Yeah.
I got a lot of that too. And to those people, I would say, true, fair point. But what does this mean now?
It's not quite the same.
But, so what is this? So because my club has been in a period of relative success, I just can't be disappointed ever. Like, is that how it is? Are you serious? Like, you can't, after a horrible loss in the semifinal of the FA Cup, I can't be disappointed anymore. When the Buffalo Bills lost all those Super Bowls in a row, can't be disappointed when Norwood missed the field goal because you could have gone 4-12, but you're in the Super Bowl. Not allowed to be disappointed. I mean, come on, people. Like, this is a gut-wrenching loss again. And that leads me into this about Tottenham. I don't know how this Pochettino era is going to be looked back on. I really don't. They're at kind of a weird crossroads here. All the success that they've had, it's been refreshing. It's been really fun. Like, this is the most fun I've had being a soccer fan ever, has been watching this Tottenham side since Pochettino arrived. And I will always look back on these years incredibly fondly. However, if there is, in the end, nothing to show for it in terms of trophies, like being good and having a fun, pleasing team to watch, that's great. But you want that so you can win things. And you know, nothing right now. It's become a bit of an empty feeling.
You just want to get the monkey off your back, so to speak. Just
The
first trophy of this new era where you feel so much better about your team, right?
Well, because that's the thing, is you feel like Tottenham are back among the giants of England. Like, to me, there's no question about that. But even in bad years for Arsenal, they won FA Cups. Even in a terrible year for Manchester United, you know, they won the Europa League, the League Cup.
You know, even at
Chelsea a few years ago, even in a terrible season when they finished sixth, they won the Champions
League.
You
want something more tangible than saying, hey,
we're good too, right?
Like it's interesting that people listed, you know, they made fun of Spurs. Basically, the meme was an empty trophy cabinet, and then the words, we drew 2-2 in Madrid, we beat Dortmund, you know,
right, all
those things.
Like, that's exactly right. A lot of awesome things have happened along the way that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
But they're not tangible in the way that a trophy is. I get that, man. I don't know what to tell you, because I kind of feel like Liverpool are in that zone too. I think these young managers that have, you know, revolutionized or changed the way we do things. We're in a new era of hope. We're in an exciting era, and things are definitely moving in the right direction. But you need to feel the Sally Field moment is lifting the cup, and then you know that you can believe in it.
You like me,
right? They haven't had that yet.
No,
and it's created some angst, it seems, between the fan base and Pochettino.
Well, yeah, I think Pochettino has done such a brilliant job that the fan base, if there is angst to be directed, I don't think it's towards him. I really don't. I mean, and Daniel Levy in his own way has done such a great job. But the fear now is amongst fans that the wages, the structure of the club player-wise is going to erode that very quickly. And soon you'll be Pochless, Kane-less, Alderweireld-less, Dembele-less, Eriksen-less, and then it's like...
That's why I say they're at a crossroads. Like, you start to wonder if guys in this club feel like we've gone as far as we can go. We've gotten to a point where...
mid-noughties Arsenal, after 2006 Arsenal then. New stadium, not the wage structure, more money with other clubs, and players not willing to wait around to see the fruition of the project.
Well, I mean, that hasn't happened yet. No one has left yet.
No.
Now Alderweireld is going to leave. That is one thing, talking about him for a sec, he didn't play again over the weekend wasn't in the squad. And I don't mean to take anything away from Davinson Sanchez, who was really good, whose ball down the sideline set up the first goal. I thought he played a really good game, and at 21 years old, it looks like he's a true talent. But Spurs, to me, are at their best when they have a back three of Sanchez, Alderweireld, and Vertonghen. You know, they didn't do that. They went with a back four, and Ben Davies and Kieran Trippier, they are what they are.
Yeah, sure.
They're good. But is that enough when you're in the semifinals of the FA Cup, or when you're in, you know, up against Juventus in the second leg of a must-win Champions League match? Like, those guys are good, and they're good enough to get this club to being a top four team.
Yeah.
But you know, letting Kyle Walker go, not playing Danny Rose in these moments because you don't believe that he's match fit or whatever the reasons are. Like, Danny Rose and Kyle Walker, I think, can be transcendent players. Davies and Trippier are not. I feel like Spurs do have a ceiling with this club, with this Pochettino side, and I feel like maybe they're hitting it. And, you know, one other thing, too, some people want to talk about that they're just not a big game club, like what Chiellini said after the Juventus game. You know, Tottenham don't know how to deal with these moments.
They don't have the history.
I mean, how many of these moments do they have to be in before we realize that they have been in enough of these moments? Like, I can't say that. Just look at the last few years, JJ. First of all, that's 8 straight FA Cup semifinals that they've lost. But most of that predates this current rendition of Tottenham. In this era, we're looking at a loss in a League Cup final to Chelsea, back-to-back FA Cup semi-final losses, a loss to 10th-place Chelsea to lose the league to Leicester City, a loss to West Ham to lose the league to Chelsea, blowing a lead at home against Juventus in the Champions League. I mean, like, that's a lot of big games that I just mentioned.
So
there.
When does this switch flick?
Right, like, that's enough where we can't say, oh, well, they just don't play in enough big games to know what it's like to have that experience. Yes, they do. They've been in a ton of them. And by the way, they've also won a lot of them. I don't want to just make this all negative about them. They've beaten Real Madrid in the Champions League. They've beaten Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League. So it's not all bad, bad, bad. So I don't know what it is. Like Moussa Dembele, the first goal. Moussa Dembele has been one of Spurs' players of the season. But in a bad moment, he loses possession.
Terrible.
Pogba gets possession, and Pogba becomes Pogba in that moment and plays in a brilliant cross Alexis Sanchez's head.
An even better header.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so sometimes S happens. And I know that that's not the thing people want to hear. People want reasons for stuff. But this doesn't mean that Moussa Dembele is not a good player. He's been great all season. Sometimes you lose possession. And when you lose it to Paul Pogba, who's world class, things happen. So credit to United. They were good in this game. It's been a weird up and down season in terms of their form. I thought they played pretty well. Spurs started the first 20 minutes brilliant. Then United settled into the game. Tottenham couldn't kill off the game with a second goal.
I think that second goal was vital. They should have had two.
Yeah, Dier hit the post on a deflection right before the half. If that goes in, who knows how the game may change. The second goal that United scored, really nice goal. Laid off for Ander Herrera, hit it well. Hugo Lloris didn't play. It was Michel Vorman net. It was hit at him, but I don't blame him. It was hit through a few players. It came
and
in
it was
really fast.
And it was at that low place where unless you can get a foot to it nearly, it's hard to get a hand down there.
Yeah. So like that's the thing. People look at all of this and they want to make a big judgment, but this is one game. And you say it's not in a vacuum. Well, it kind of is. Like on that day, sometimes you win against Manchester United, sometimes you don't. Spurs beat them last month. This time they lose. I don't know. I don't have some huge revelation to make about this club.
I don't think I have either there. Nothing has changed for me except that the underlying fear remains about where this Spurs project will be allowed to go.
Yeah. And then it's going to be Manchester United against Chelsea as Chelsea take care of business against Southampton, scoring both goals in the second half. And
there's not a ton to say about that one, really.
Not really. I mean, that's... It's what, you know,
what we expected.
Yeah.
Chelsea did what they were supposed to do. Now we've got a United-Chelsea final.
What do you think?
My initial thought, just watching the way they dug themselves out of the hole against Spurs, and as bad as they can look at times, and they can look like there were moments against Spurs where I was just like, Spurs should run through this lot, you know, especially like the first goal, which was wonderfully executed, but still.
Oh, Christian Eriksen's such a great player.
Such a wonderful ball by Sanchez as well. Like.
I know.
It was funny. Stu Holden said something that really irritated me on the commentary. Davinson Sanchez with the hopeful ball. Hopeful. This wasn't some dink down the line. He picked him out perfectly. The control was excellent and the cross was beautiful. And it was a brilliant finish. And I thought Spurs should have ran over them, but they didn't. And United turned on the style when they needed to. And I think in a cup final situation, with the way things have gone at Chelsea, with just the general moods around the club, I feel United are going to do it.
I think so,
too. It could be 2-1 as well.
I just don't trust Chelsea right now.
No. I don't know what Chelsea will turn up. I don't. Plus,
yeah.
I just think that... There's been a little bit, it's almost as if, and I know they subsequently lost to West Brom, I get that, but I do feel that there's been a little bit of a shift creatively for United since the City game. Not entirely, I'm not even happy with the lineup most of the time, but I do think that like Pogba is producing these little cameos, like the cross. Like he had a good game at the weekend.
I thought both him and Alexis Sanchez were great in that game.
Exactly, and a switch has turned a little bit with Alexis Sanchez. I'm not sure that even if United can hit that just for enough spells, they'll score two, and I think that'll be enough.
Also, if we ever sat down, maybe we'll do this one day, where we do our all underrated 11.
Yeah.
I think Antonio Valencia is on that team for me.
He's
just so solid every year.
I think that's a fair shout.
Yeah. Again, I thought at the weekend, I think he's such a solid player.
And also as well, Smalling and Jones had a good outing. And,
yeah.
And that's important. It'd be just interesting to see who Chelsea will start up front. I know Giroud got his great goal. We should mention that. It was very good feat to score the goal that he did against Southampton. But it's going to be interesting to see which way Chelsea go in terms of how they line out against United.
Morata scored as well.
Yeah. My gut says United, though.
Oh. Oh, my. You know what that means, my friend. I'm talking to you about hymns. That's right. JJ, 66% of men lose their hair by the time they're 35 years old. Things like this start to happen, and you didn't even know that it was happening.
Arjen Robben.
Bald. And he's been bald for a long time. If he knew about hymns when he was maybe 7 or 8 years old, before he could have cut it off at the pass. That hairline, you see it slowly, slowly starting to recede. Guys turn to weird solutions. We always talk about these gas station supplements.
Oh,
that we run into.
You tell me
frequently
about gas station supplements every day.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Well, here's the solution for all this. If you're starting to go bald or if you're having some skincare issues, we've got 4hims.com. FORHIMS.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and other wellness supplements for men.
Jordan Lechkoff.
Bald. Here's the deal. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat your hair loss. Waiting rooms not required. That's right. No awkward doctor visits. You have to miss work. You got to leave early. You got to miss your lunch break because you got to go to the doctor. And doctors, they always leave you waiting. It can be a miserable experience. And none of that with 4hims.com.
Yep, Stam.
Yeah. All of these are bald men. A few quick questions and a doctor will review and he'll prescribe you. Products are shipped to you directly to your door. This is a phenomenal product. It's great stuff. Now, here's all you got to do.
Bobby Charlton.
Bald. Order now, and here's how you do it. Listeners to this podcast get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. $5. I mean, typically, if you want to avoid baldness, you're talking about hundreds of dollars. We're telling you that it's $5 if you listen to this podcast and you go for it right now. Go to 4hims.com/offside.
Tamori Kitsbaya.
FORHIMS.com/offside. 4hims.com/offside.
Stephen Ireland.
Can change your life. Let's see. What to watch for time. That's right, my friend. Europa League semifinals, first leg. Tomorrow, or I guess today, now looking at the clock. Thursday, 3.05 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's Arsenal against Atletico Madrid. This is this a possible audition Simeone?
The fact that this is an audition for an accomplished manager like Simeone
is insulting. You're right, it's the wrong word choice.
Yeah, I don't think he's a fit for Arsenal, but he's is one of the names that is swirling around right now, including Luis Enrique, who the bookies at the start of the week had him as favourite.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting to me. Diego Simeone, he might be the biggest name because of having reached those Champions League finals, winning La Liga in a time when we thought only Barcelona and Real Madrid can. I mean, he's clearly a great manager, but he's an interesting name because he seems to do everything the opposite of what you envision Arsenal when they're at their absolute Arsenal best to be.
Right.
So do Arsenal want to do that?
But don't they want to turn the page and perhaps be, you know, first of all, he's going to get on the field and he's going to try and organize that midfield and defense a bit better. So isn't that what Arsenal really need?
It's that question that we always go back to about when you're bringing a manager into your club, does he have to live up to a certain standard of style of play? Or do you bring a manager in simply because win at all costs? Whatever this guy wants to do to get us to win, we do it. I mean, this would be to go into some really, you know, tough-minded defensive style, whereas Arsenal have been this, like I said, when they're at their best, this free-flowing side, you know, nice passing, good finishing.
Right.
it would be a culture shock for a lot of Arsenal fans, especially like in our age group that really have only known one way. It would be very weird.
And it also depends what, I keep going back to this though, they've got their kind of director of transfers installed in Mislintat from Dortmund. He's already kind of had his hand on the transfers of Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan, who both came up in the Bundesliga. So are you going to see that kind of German-style football? And if that's the case, Simeone doesn't really fit that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's someone else.
I don't know. The other first leg semifinal in the Europa League, same time, Marseille and Salzburg, that one back in France.
Yeah, and it's Marseille playing another part, one of the Red Bull company.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a wild last game in the quarterfinal against Leipzig. Marseille 5, Leipzig 2. Andrew, there's something about this part of the tournament that just defending is optional. The teams open up. Last year, Schalke had this absolutely thrilling game with Ajax. A stunning end, like basketball type game. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this in the quarterfinal, and I'll be honest with you, there's nothing to tell me that this game won't be similar. I expect Marseille to go through. I expect, you know, Dimitri Payet to score an absolute worldie along the way. But it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Premier League Saturday, kick your weekend off, 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Liverpool and Stoke City. Of course, Liverpool trying to see out the end of the season and just make sure that they keep that grip on top four, which, I got to believe that they will.
This is going to be the weekend that Stoke are confirmed.
Yeah, Stoke right now tied on points with Southampton. Stoke behind on goal differential, and significantly so. 29 points for each of those clubs. Swansea sits 17th with 33 points, so a four-point edge. However, Stoke have played one game more than both Swansea and Southampton. It's not a good place to be in right now for all those clubs down there, but Stoke especially. You're right, this could be the end. My only friend, the end.
Yeah, and at the weekend, obviously, they didn't get the result they needed. And then going back a few days before that, the West Ham game is going to stick in the craw where they were leading late on.
Yeah. Speaking of Southampton, by the way, they're in action at 10 a.m. against Bournemouth. Not done yet. There's still time. Look, Swansea are bad, too. It's a lot of bad teams chasing each other. And for all of Southampton's shortcomings, they've lost in horrifying fashion, but against Arsenal and Chelsea, they were right there. Games that, they probably should have won. So maybe that does say something about them. If you get them back on the field against another average to below average side, which Bournemouth, I guess you kind of have to say they are that, 11th right now on the table. Decent, in decent form. But, it's not Arsenal or Chelsea. So we'll see if Southampton, they're not done yet.
Yeah, no, and you're right to be cautious about saying they're done yet. But
Swansea have Chelsea, by the way.
Their only two performances of any note are those against those big teams, like you pointed out. They've got to get up for this. It's a derby, anyway. South Coast derby.
Yep, they're at home. And like I say, Swansea are hosting Chelsea. You got to believe Chelsea will win that. Chelsea's still playing for a hope of getting into the Champions League.
I'll
top
tell
four
you, Andrew,
spot.
You're selling hope right here.
Yeah, you're right, but it's not done yet. So the same desperation that Southampton has to be playing for against Bournemouth, both Swansea and Chelsea, I'd presume, would be playing with that, although maybe Chelsea are just seeing out the end of the season. I don't know. And then Sunday, 11:30, Manchester United and Arsenal. It's been a great history between Wenger and Mourinho, and they will face each other. I guess I shouldn't say for the final time.
We don't know
where Wenger could wind up.
But it feels like the final time.
Yeah.
And certainly the turning of a Premier League. What a rivalry.
Yeah.
Forget about Mourinho, but the rivalry between Manchester United and Arsenal was the rivalry before the Abramovich millions.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
The Fergie and Wenger version.
But going back further, there was the great fight in 1990 at Old Trafford, where it was just a bench-clearing brawl. Just so much great history there.
Yeah, but now, did you see what Jose Mourinho had to say about Arsene Wenger? Because you weren't sure, this could have gone a couple ways.
Well, he said nice things.
He did. He says, quote, because we all know the history with the two of them, if he, Wenger, respects me even 50% of what I respect him, then we can even be friends in the future, Mourinho told Sky News. I have lots of respect for him, but the reality is that he was at Arsenal, he was the champion, and I came to the country in 2004 and wanted to steal his title. That's football. And he's absolutely right. Well, I thought that was actually pretty nice from Jose.
That's what happened, yeah. And he called him a voyeur then.
MLS, Saturday, 3 o'clock p.m., ESPN Plus, Toronto FC and Chicago Fire. Toronto, of course, in the league, losing 5-1 last week to the Dynamo, but in the build-up to
the biggest game in their history.
They didn't. I mean, the 5-1 is deceiving. They didn't play Josie, Bradley, Javinko, Vasquez, Mauro, Osorio, Delgado, Moore, Bono. I mean,
didn't play anyone.
I mean, people paid money to go to this game. This is an exhibition. And Houston, to their credit, did what they're supposed to do, and they beat that team 5-1. Sad that that game counted. By the way, Javinko showing a little bit of frustration. This could become a developing storyline with stalled contract negotiations.
Uh-oh.
Here's what he said. He said, I already talked, but they said it's not the moment for contract talks, Javinko told the Toronto Sun. For them, that's not a problem. For me, it is a little bit. I want to know my future. I have a family. I'm 31 years old. For what I do for the city, I think I deserve it. No?
Ooh, steady.
For them, it's not a problem. For me, it's starting to be a problem. I already said I want to stay here forever. If not, I have to think about other options. You forget he's 31 because he looks young, but he's at a point right now where he probably has one big significant payday left. And so I understand him maybe stressing over that a little bit. And he has done a lot for this club. I mean, he's been arguably the best player in the league over the last 5 years or so, 4 years or so. So, you know, he's helped them achieve great things. Also on MLS, Saturday, 10:30 p.m., also on ESPN Plus, LA Galaxy, New York Red Bulls. A little bit of a glamour fixture here.
Used to be. Is it still?
I think it still is. Red Bulls 3-3 this season, but this is actually their best statistical start under Jesse Marsh through six games. 14 goals on 48 shots on goal, but they've given up just 56 shots total. Not bad.
BWP, it doesn't feel like that.
I don't know. BWP, he in a losing effort, scored last week in the 81st minute. He's now 9 shy of 100 MLS goals, and he's one behind Joseph Martinez for the league lead so far this season. Martinez with 6, BWP with 5. He scored against 18 of 22 MLS clubs. Oddly, LA is one of the four that he has not scored against, so we'll see if he can break that streak coming up Saturday, 10:30. We've talked about it before, but he just continues to be one of the most consistent goal scorers that this league has seen. And like I've always said, I don't think he receives the credit oftentimes that he deserves.
No, because he didn't come with the fanfare. Yeah. That's the difference.
And then last but not least, Serie A, where we now can say we do have a legitimate title race. Saturday, 2:45, Inter and Juve at the San Siro. Huge one there in this race. And then Sunday at noon, Fiorentina and Napoli in Florence. So tough matches for both the clubs in the title race. Napoli with a dramatic victory, the header late.
In a terrible game.
Against Juventus, but they get that goal late on. Great scenes from the Napoli supporters.
Oh, great scenes from the Juve supporters too as well. That made that really just a fantastic spectacle at least. And we've got what we wanted.
A title race in a European league.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
And we were always saying this was going to be the one, but Napoli kept kind of throwing it away every time Juve slipped up. So, I mean, this is just brilliant. By the way, can I direct everyone? Do yourselves a favor. Google Wright Thompson, ESPN, Juventus. Mm-hmm. His piece on Juventus visiting for the game is just wonderful. It's so evocative. You feel like you're right there.
Good stuff, man. That's a good shout. And we will be obviously keeping an eye on what happens in Serie A. And that'll do it. It is super late. I'm going to go home and I'm going to go to bed. This was fun. Glad we did this. We have another podcast out where we look at, of course, the Champions League matches from this week.
Your male red cards man of the match, which is always the best part.
Yeah, and one of those rare instances where my red card and your man of the match are actually the same person.
What a tease.
Ooh, interesting. Hey, to you I say...
Take you later, fun boy.
I'll see you later, man.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Caught Offside Soccer Podcast.